Arsenal are the greatest football club in the history of this world. Also, I'm legally obliged to say that that was part of a wager that I lost. Welcome to the Football Corner, Munch's very own home for all things football. My name is Vikram.
My name is Shreyas.
If you guys are new, you can check us out wherever you get your podcasts, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, and more.
You can also find us on our website, munchamedia.com, or at Munch's Sports on all social media.
So, Shreyas, let's jump right in and break down Game Week 3. So it's a pretty interesting game week from a footballing perspective, less interesting from a fantasy perspective, at least for me. I got pretty pummeled, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
The first match that I want to talk about and just get out of the way because I know you have a lot of thoughts is Chelsea and Norwich. Chelsea almost did not win this one.
I mean, I don't want to say the scoreline's flattering, but yeah, some players showed up. Improving consistently, but still I still think we've got miles to go and the progress is a little too slow and not steady enough. So we were lucky to win this game.
You were, and I feel like, look, it's still a bunch of kids, right? So it's going to take them time to settle in and start playing well together. I feel like Lampard and the entire backroom staff being there helps. What I'm really liking is Mason Mount's sort of confidence and just ability to just go out there and run at players.
Right.
I really like that.
He's kind of showing at least a spirit, if not anything else. But what I'm most worried about is one is like the senior players not being able to show up. Pedro was the only one, and then he had a injury in warm-ups. So he was gone. Willian.
We finally saw Willian this game.
Oh, God. Nah, I don't think so. He cuts it. But, no, I think what worries me the most, it wasn't particularly surprising that Norwich scored and, like, Pukki scored and everything. But interesting stat from last year in the championship. Lampard's derby was the most vulnerable, most prone to counterattacks. They had the most number of counterattacks against them. So it's just, I don't know if it's the system they play or what it is, but I mean, irrespective of what system you're playing, if it works and if you've got it down to a T, that's okay. But if you're so open and so vulnerable to, and you can't even like dominate against teams like Norwich, then yeah, we're going to have a really long, rough ride in the Premier League. And like, you can only learn and adapt, you know, so much. It's just, you know, fixtures are going to come thick and fast. The Champions League will start. December fixtures will start.
Oh, dude, this team in the Champions League is, yeah, it's going to be a good test for Lampard. You know, one thing I think these guys sorely missed was Kante's presence in the game. Regardless of where he plays, just the energy and his ability to do a task or complete a task that's given to him is pretty high up there in terms of efficiency levels.
Yep.
So that really mattered because now he ended up playing Jorginho and Kovacic in, as opposed to some combo of either Jorginho or Kovacic with Kante playing.
Right.
Most likely Jorginho and Kante.
Correct.
Ross Barkley has been a mainstay ever since. Even Sarri, I would feel like he's pretty regular.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he had a fantastic preseason and I mean, it seemed like he was taking upon that Lampard mantle, so to say. But I don't know. He hasn't showed up at all these three games. I mean, yeah, he had that one moment where he was dribbling in and out. But besides that, no, he hasn't shown up at all. So not looking good. I mean, yeah, Mason Mount's been the only one who's been consistently like showing some sort of spirit and effort and willingness to play. But besides that, I don't think so. I can single out anyone else on the team who's playing well. So,
you know, and what's really tough to ascertain is if there's even a good candidate for your FPL team from this Chelsea squad, because you don't know who's good, who's bad. The striker changes from Giroud to Abraham. You don't know which player is going to get you the points.
Yeah.
Jorginho's too deep. I feel like that's Kante again. You don't know if he's going to get you the points, even though he's playing a more attacking role. So.
Right.
I'm not surprised that I haven't seen a single FPL team this season that and which has featured a Chelsea player.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I remember initially, I think I had taken Emerson before I caved in and played my wild card because I had 5.5, not too bad, left back, supremely aggressive.
Right.
Has hit the post, I don't know, like 3-4 times in the last three games. But still, man, yeah, Chelsea's defense and just the way Lampard plays, I think he's very attack-minded and attack-focused. And yeah, he wants to keep possession and without the ball, he wants them to, you know, push up and press on and all of that jazz. So it just doesn't look good for the defense in general. And even Aspi, like for all you know, him being one of the most consistent or fastest right backs or the most difficult ones to beat, he hasn't been particularly good this season. And I think that he might just slip into center back once Reece James is fit, because he's basically backup for right back. So yeah, not looking good. I mean, we're dying to get Rudiger back on the pitch, because even Zuma looks extremely shaky. Christensen has been okay. So yeah, I don't know what's going on with the squad.
I feel like Lampard just like doing whatever he can to sort of keep them together. But like one slight nudge will just like make the entire thing crumble.
Yeah.
I see that, man. A 2-3 result, I mean, fine. First win for Lampard, that's great.
Right.
3 points in the back, that's also good. But the overall performance, not that convincing.
Yeah, and we're playing Sheffield next week and we're at home. And again, that's not going to be... Like, it should be on paper, it should be domination, and should be an easy victory. I'd happily take a 2-0, but I know it's not going to be a 2-0. It could be like a 2-1 or a 2-all or a nil-all, I don't know, so.
I don't want to talk about Chelsea anymore, because there's not much to cover here. I feel like we've covered the important stuff. Yeah. It's progress for whatever it's worth. So let's just take that.
Okay.
And let's see how they end up playing next week against Sheffield.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the game of the week.
Okay.
Or something that was supposed to be a very interesting game, but didn't sort of pan out to be. Liverpool took on Arsenal.
Yeah.
At Anfield. I have some thoughts about this game, man, in terms of specifically how Arsenal ended up playing.
Yeah.
So what it seemed like was, of course, the game was a 3-1 domination fest,
right.
Especially in that first half where Liverpool just kept on crossing and attacking.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like Arsenal had anything to stop them. But a few points I had that I wanted to talk about is the way Arsenal played this game essentially was that they tried to play out from the back. Even their goal kicks were with their center backs lined right next up to Leno. So they were just wanted to play out from the back and then take it forward. Except when what it seemed like Xhaka's MO was that when Xhaka gets the ball, he just has to look up and try to find, even if Pepe or Oba are remotely open or there is some space that he sees, just throw the ball there. Just chuck the ball there. So that essentially ended up cancelling out Ceballos,
right,
who was playing right behind the strikers. And according to me, had a very, very good game last week.
He was running the show.
He was running the show completely. So if you have that sort of a player get cancelled out, then I don't know what the end agenda is, because I feel like they were doing that to counter Liverpool's counter, essentially. So
So
help them mitigate the threat of the counter. But it didn't work. Nothing worked. They got pummeled.
Badly.
And Salah just kind of came through and killed it, man.
I mean, I don't know. What would you do if you're Arsenal? I mean, I know maybe Lacazette should have started, and to play like a trio of Lacazette, Oba and Pepe with Ceballos behind, maybe that made more sense. But I guess they knew they won't have too much of the ball and won't have too much to do with it. But I don't know. Like, even Emery said himself that he doesn't know if this squad is better than like last season's squad after the transfers they've made and after the money that they've spent. So, I don't know, maybe he just gave in even before the whistle blew and said it was damage limitation from the word go. So, I don't know, just doesn't look good for Emery as well.
It does not, because they did spend a lot of money, but they didn't send any money in defense.
Right.
I mean, I'm not counting David Luiz as a great purchase here.
Over Mustafi, sure.
Sure, but then that's exactly the point, right? If your defense is quote-unquote improved by having David Luiz as your only purchase, then obviously it's not going to help. If you have Oba and Lacazette, who were your biggest positive last season. Your attack was your biggest positive last season, and you reinforced that by adding a forward and a cam, essentially.
Yeah.
Then, obviously. And then you don't end up utilizing them, or your only way to utilize them is just to chuck the ball ahead to them. That's not a game plan that's going to work. Liverpool's too smart a team to take care of it.
Right.
What I'm even more upset about is, even though he played such a great game, is I'm so confused about Salah and Mane.
So that's what we're calling them now, Salah.
Salah, yeah. Basically, Salah and Mane for my fantasy team.
Yeah.
And I busted my ass, took like a couple of hits in terms of accommodating Mane into my team.
Well done.
Who had a great last week, and Salah just comes in and creams everyone.
Yeah.
And now you're just seeing these teams with Sterling and either Salah or Sterling and Mane, me being the latter. And it's just whoever plays better just takes that game week.
Yeah, along with smart decision on who makes captain. But yeah, you really can't tell between, you know, Mane and Salah. And yeah, but this Liverpool-Arsenal game was Salah all over, man. He just killed David Luiz, the penalty, the goal, everything. It was just, it was like David Luiz wasn't even there for that move. So, yeah, when it comes to fantasy, I think the only thing that Mane has above Salah is that, what, he's cheaper. But besides that,
I mean, he's still 11.5. That's not cheap.
Yeah, but he's cheaper than Salah,
I guess. But then, you know, I'm seeing these teams with like Sterling, Salah,
KDB,
and then like a Martial or a Rashford. Oh, it's like, guys, what are you like? Do you have 150 million budget? How's this happen? I don't get the math there, dude.
Glitch.
You know what? What I feel like those guys do is that they just put these three, four guys in and then just click auto pick. Like, jo aa raha hai na. It's not like my thinking will get me like 8 more points. Right. I trust the computer. I'll just make it work within 100 and then we'll take it from there, which is not a bad strat if you think about it. But essentially, that was the game, 3-1 to Liverpool.
Yeah.
Very high octane offense. The first half just literally felt like it was a practice game where Liverpool was on a crossing drill, basically, and just figuring out what to do there. What other than that, I don't understand with this Arsenal situation, and this situation that a lot of these big clubs have started getting into is players like Mkhitaryan on the bench, Ozil not even in the squad.
Yeah.
It's pretty similar to this Sanchez situation that Manu is taking. But this, just figure it out, solve it, push these guys out if you have to, pay them if you have to. You look like idiots, man. You're Arsenal, you're Manchester United.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, United aside, they seem to be a lot better than Arsenal when it comes to these senior players who are sort of burning down the cash. But I don't know. I still think that considering the kind of midfield that they have, I think Ozil has some sort of role to play eventually. Like, there's no senior mainstay kind of player there already in terms of like playmaking or trying to get things going. Yeah, Ceballos has shown a really good version of what that might seem like in the first few games, but I still think Ozil has a little something to do. And maybe he might show up every now and then, you know.
Why is he not in the squad, man?
So he wasn't. So he and Kolasinac weren't in the squad the first two game weeks because of safety reasons.
That I understand. They got involved in gang wars somehow. But Kolasinac was in the squad. He was on the bench this game. Right. Also, he was not even on the squad.
Right.
Mkhitaryan, I guess he's deteriorated post. Like, he's not the same Mickey from like Dortmund, for example. But he's still, I mean, either sell him or what's happening there? I don't get it. And then you're reinforcing players to compensate for these guys as opposed to your actual frailties, which are like defense and, and your backline and stuff like that. So that's stuff that I don't understand. Same situation. I feel like United's doing its best to push Sanchez out to Inter, but I don't get it. Either he still has something to add, which is why you're keeping him. If you're not keeping him, then be decisive in terms of what you want to do with him.
Yeah, but if he doesn't want to leave and he wants to just sit at home and collect money, then,
well, pay him off and then have him off your squad, man. Because it's not a good look, firstly, from a PR perspective. And it's not a good sort of a morale situation for your team as well. Like, how would Rashford feel? Like, he's like that dude sitting at home getting 400 grand a week.
No. But Rashford's at 300. So that's he's not too far away.
Anyone else. Like, it's not a good morale situation. And Man U's in desperate need of that stuff because they're also very similar to Chelsea in this whole rebuilding phase. Young people.
Yeah, but I think they're way better off than Chelsea.
Well, the game with Crystal Palace didn't say so. Ended up getting their ass worked 1-2. And even the Crystal Palace goals, I mean, the first one specific, both actually, like, they just came out of nowhere on the counter.
Right.
United had the ball. They were dominating in terms of possession and mostly in Crystal Palace's half. And then out of the blue, just boom, one goal. And Daniel James actually had an awesome, awesome shot.
That was something.
That was a very pretty goal that he scored. And fine. I mean, you have to go to lengths like that to get an equalizer.
Yeah.
And then again, same thing, counter. Again, goal, out of the blue.
Yeah.
I don't know. People will blame De Gea here, but I don't know.
They should, because, I mean, the commentator is saying that if he has to be beaten, it's always at his near post. But he's one of the best, you know, keepers in the world, if not the best right now. And to be beaten at your near post, yeah, I mean, he didn't have anything to do most of the half. So maybe he was bored, he wasn't attentive, but that's what you're paid for, that's what you train for. So I don't know, I think the blame lies like 10% with the squad and with Ole and the tactics and it not working out or whatever. And yeah, some of them had bad games, but
I think Harry Maguire didn't have a good game.
He had an okay game.
His positioning on that second goal was not ideal. He's a center back. He needs to be covering that back line regardless of where the offense is coming from, right?
Right. But I remember after they got their equalizer, and they were pretty much using Harry Maguire as a second or a third center forward, pretty much. So he was waiting like in possession. You know, the Palace was sitting deep, and if the ball was moving ahead, then he would join the attack, and he was just hanging around there to see what he was doing. And he's not fast. I mean, he's not particularly fast, and they got caught in the counter. So, yeah.
I mean, 80 million, dude. You can't counter on me if I have 80 million. But yeah, that's what happened. Man United dropped points, which it didn't seem like the entire game that they should have. It's not clear that Crystal Palace was the better team.
Yeah.
It's just one of those days where you drop points, and at some point in the season or at the end of the season, this is going to come and bite you in the ass.
For sure. And not just that, they lost Shaw. We don't know how long he'll be out for. It looked like his hamstring.
Right. The legend came on to replace him.
Yeah, he's the oldest player on the squad, Ashley Young.
Yeah.
But he seemed active. He was taking, you know, all the corners, all the free kicks, and he had an okay game, but
he was fine, yeah. And even if you think about it from a fantasy perspective, a lot of people have DDG in their team. Right. So that didn't pan out too well. I have Wan-Bissaka on my team.
So many of us. I think it was our first pick.
I feel like I'm going to push him out now because it's not like he's expensive, but Man United is not guaranteeing clean sheets, firstly, right? And the other reason why I personally thought Wan-Bissaka might have been useful was his sort of attacking play,
which
he's been doing, but it's not like he's been getting the points required by getting an assist or a through ball or something like that. He's been up there on the right.
Yeah, but he's been there, but he
mostly
hasn't
as a support player, I feel like.
Yeah.
He's just making sure he's there to facilitate play.
Correct.
So that might not be ideal. Who I think are doing pretty well from a fantasy perspective and look pretty promising are Rashford and Martial.
Exactly.
So some combo of those guys on your team.
Martial only because he's a midfielder in FPL.
He's a midfielder in FPL and he plays ahead of Rashford, and Rashford just sort of plays around him.
Right.
And it's not like they're the most expensive player. So I feel like from that perspective, they're good picks for fantasy. Choose your pick in terms of who you want it to be. I had Rashford till about last week, but I had to push him out because I had to get Mane in.
Okay.
Sob story there.
No, worst story here. I played my wildcard, got Rashford, and I got a big fat zero from him for missing that penalty.
Oh, he missed that penalty, man. No. If they pull him off a penalty duty now because of this miss.
I don't think so they will.
Because if Pogba ends up taking the next penalty, I'll be pissed. I'll be pissed because Pogba's missed so many. And this one was, I mean, fine, on paper it's a miss, but it was actually a pretty good looking penalty.
It was, like the commentator was saying, it was like too good a penalty.
It was too good a penalty. So that happened. And sad situation. They dropped points at the end of the day, which is going to hurt them.
Right. But in the midfield, I keep on, I wait for the team sheets and I wait for the subs list and stuff. And we haven't seen Matic at all. What's happening there?
I don't know. I honestly thought the first 2 weeks that he was injured or something.
Same, yeah, but he's not. Like, apparently he had a bad preseason, and a lot of my United friends, fans, they say that he wasn't that great last season and he's slow and stuff. So I was like, but there's no other mainstay in your midfield.
Well, he's trying to groom McTominay.
Yeah, I get that. McTominay had a decent game. He earned the penalty, last game, but I don't know, I always feel like you can also see it with Pogba. Like, Pogba almost needs to be a little further up ahead.
In place of Lingard, you think?
Yes, and Lingard I don't know why he's starting games. He has such bad games. His first touches are horrible.
But there's no one there. No one there. Unless it's Pogba playing in that position, there's no one there to
cover
play
for him, Biche.
Yeah, because understandably, the best case situation is McTominay and Matic.
Right.
And then Pogba up ahead in place of Lingard. But if Matic doesn't have it, then either that or Matic told Solskjaer to F off or something. Because that's usually the case. It's either something personal or it's actual footballing reasons, which we don't get to see that much because of preseason and practice and stuff like that. Solskjaer's a seasoned footballer, if not a seasoned manager. So he understands the situation.
Yeah.
So maybe we just give him the benefit of the doubt. I actually used to like Matic a lot, man. Until about 2 years ago, I thought he was a solid player.
Yeah, he was insane. I mean, I remember that season that we won with Conte's first season in charge, we had Kante and Matic, man. They were
that was
in the
amazing
pivot. Yeah. They were untouchable, man.
They were. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know the situation. The fact that he's sticking with Pogba and McTominay in the sort of cover for the back line, it it makes me think that something's up and truly Matic is not in top form. So yeah, moving on. That's United dropping points. Sad for them because it's against Crystal Palace, who haven't been the best this season. Right. And for them to come out on top is disheartening for a lot of United fans, I'm sure. All United fans, actually.
Yeah, but for non-United people, it's the best shit ever.
I'm curious. I want Chelsea United to do well this season, man. And by well, I'm not saying like come first and second, but like third, fourth, fight at least. Show good promise for next season.
Right.
Otherwise, it's going to be pretty sad.
Yeah, I think the Premier League is turning out to be like the La Liga now, where you have your Barca, Madrid fighting it out, and then the rest is just scraps.
Well, talking about United's neighbors and the, well, I guess Madrid in this situation right now. City, again, killed Bournemouth 3-1 away from home.
Yeah.
Harry Wilson had a sweet free kick.
Yeah. He had a great goal last match as well.
Last match.
On loan from Liverpool.
So he's doing well. That's the only, I think, positive for Bournemouth in general. City standard situation. Aguero 2, Sterling 1. Yep. De Bruyne 1 assist. Yep. Silva 2 assists. Doesn't matter, man. It doesn't matter what's happening. We don't even need to
dive
dissect.
Too deep.
Yeah, it's a pretty standard City performance. They're going to be very unhappy that they've already dropped points, but considering that it was against this gritty Spurs side, it doesn't matter because Liverpool hasn't, well, they faced Arsenal actually. What am I about to say? I was about to say Liverpool hasn't faced a tough team yet and they actually destroyed Arsenal.
Yeah. But again, Arsenal's not tough.
Interesting. They aren't, man. I think that backline, it's too top heavy, that team. So obviously it's gonna come through whenever they played tough opponents. I mentioned City dropping points against Spurs, and here we see Spurs dropping points against Newcastle.
Yeah, not just dropping points, earning 0 points.
Earning 0 points. They lost 1-0.
Yeah.
I know the narrative from this game is VAR, but I think what should be the narrative here is Christian Eriksen.
And more than that, it's like you look at Pochettino and obviously he looks worried. The more facial hair he has, the more worried he looks. So I just think when he's in tension, he doesn't shave or whatever. But yeah, we saw Christian Eriksen come on against Villa. He, you know, stepped up, saved everyone. Against City, he had to start. So I don't know. I mean, Son wasn't there for the longest time. And he actually had a decent game against Newcastle. He was the one running around and doing his thing. But
Eriksen's like SOS for them right now.
Yeah, and it's like they're handicapped without Eriksen, and it's like they're so dependent on him. So if you just take out Eriksen out of the equation, and despite having Kane and Moura and so on, they're still struggling, which is, I'm sure the other top six must be like, you know, rubbing their hands together and be like, yeah, this looks like fun and Spurs don't look that scary. And okay, it's just, you know, first month of the Premier League and stuff. But I'd be extremely worried if I was Pochettino.
I mean, he is. He came out with a statement saying Spurs are very unsettled right now. And apparently, like, at least I feel like 12 teams or a bunch of these PL teams are getting together to figure out if there's a way to extend the transfer deadline going forward, because for Pochettino particularly, this Eriksen situation is very unsettling. He's one of their top players. He's right. One of the biggest sort of drivers of their offense.
Right.
And he doesn't want to play him, understandably, because he doesn't want his team to get used to him, right?
He used to him, and also, like, you don't know what kind of psychological sort of stuff is going on with the player. Someone who doesn't want to sign an extension said no to the pay increase and is maybe not actively willing to leave because he's a nice guy and he's not creating bullshit in the media. But yeah, if he's showing up for training and he's showing up and he'll do his thing, but is his might in the right place and is he gonna give his all?
Well, it's pretty clear that he wants to leave, and it's pretty clear that a lot of teams would want him.
Right.
So it's understandable that Pochettino wants, well, I take back the get used to him. I actually want to rephrase that and say that he wants his players to be used to a life without Eriksen.
Right.
But
that life means draws and losing.
So if that's the case, then obviously he's going to throw in Eriksen whenever possible. I am of the opinion that he should be starting Eriksen till Eriksen leaves.
Totally.
Because you don't want to sacrifice these points right now.
Absolutely.
And you don't know when that's going to happen. So this uncertainty of jayega ya nahi jayega,
right.
if in that you end up dropping points or losing games, it makes no sense. Kane got disallowed for a penalty in this game.
I think that was a clear pen. Clean stone wall. I mean, I don't understand how VAR works. I don't know what they're looking for. I don't understand the relationship between the referee on the ground and the referees in the studio. So that was a Stonewall.
I feel like the finer, like more and more finer print details just keep coming out every time.
And it just gets more gray area.
Obviously, because it's a gray area that is getting dived into. And if it's the gray area that's getting dissected, there's nothing to dissect. It's gray. So it'll just add to more gray. But I would say that it's not like Spurs had a phenomenal game and were denied the chance for a draw or something like that. It's just that was their only sort of highlight in terms of attack, apart from Son's movements here and there a bit.
Yeah.
So I would actually say they're not deserving of... it's a pen. Fine, it's a pen. Sure, you get a draw, whatever. But your overall performance also has to... be positive.
Right.
So if that's your hue and cry about we lost this game or we drew this game because of VAR, then shut up. Because you didn't have a good performance, right? That's what I feel like happened here. Again, from a fantasy perspective, Spurs is a very confusing team. Harry Kane's actually had this August curse over the past few seasons.
Yes.
Which I learned the hard way, so I didn't actually add him to my team. And the guy came and scored like 2 goals, I think, that first
against
week.
Villa, yeah.
And now he's quiet again. I had Lucas Moura on, but I took him off because I knew Son coming in would start. Dele Alli's injured. Eriksen, you have no idea what the situation is.
So
their defensive line also, I have Alderweireld in my team, but they conceded. So it's very confusing in terms of what to do with Spurs. Maybe their fixtures going forward will be a better indicator of what they should be doing or what we should be doing from a fantasy perspective.
Mm.
So that essentially rounds up our review of this game week. We had a few wagers that we placed last week on the Liverpool-Arsenal game. Shreyas, you said that the goal difference would be 2 and I said 1.
I said 2 minimum and I was so close.
You were so close. And I lost that wager and hence that intro to this episode.
We should get temporary tattoos at least.
Like those chewing gum ones that you used to get.
Exactly. And like put it on your forehead or something. I love Arsenal.
Just like walk around with an Arsenal tattoo on my forehead. We also had a Wolves Burnley wager.
Yeah, and this was some game, man. Like,
this was some game.
I almost lost.
We both almost lost. Actually, no. I almost won. So I said that Burnley might take it. You said Wolves might take it. They ended up drawing.
Yeah. 1-1. In the 97th minute, Jimenez's penalty.
And that was pretty interesting. So I guess that was a pass. Now let's do a wager for next week. Arsenal's taking on Spurs.
It's very tricky.
Very tricky. So you say that it's going to be a draw?
I mean, I just can't tell. Both of them are in tough positions. Both of them haven't really showed much. They've struggled. You don't really know what's going on there. They don't have a fixed team to play. I think even Kyle Walker-Peters, Spurs right back, I think he went injured. So, yeah, and Ndombele didn't feature at all. I think he's injured as well. So, I don't know what's going on in North London right now. So, this is going to be really interesting to watch as a neutral and to see, you know, who trumps who and what tactics will be at play. But I can't tell who's going to come out on top. So, I'm going to go for a draw.
Okay. I think Arsenal might take this one, man. Because... I don't know. I feel like Spurs is super unsettled. Kind of depends on this whole Eriksen situation and Son's sort of integration into the team. If he starts Eriksen, then it might be a different game. I don't even know what if Eriksen's gone by then.
Ooh.
Right? So I can see Arsenal taking this one.
Okay.
And figuring something out there. We've spoken a lot about fantasy. So we had a new player join our league, Aditya Chetwani. And he came in and sort of...
destroyed everything.
He destroyed everything. He came in and became the auto number one because he had a few points on top of me.
Yeah.
And then I took a hit to get Mane into my team. We already spoke about that.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's just a matter of who has Sterling and Salah and who has Sterling and Mane, essentially. Right. And then the finer details with the 4 to 8 points on top of each other.
Right.
And Sterling and Mane combination, unfortunately, didn't win this time. And Salah, whoever had Salah, I've seen a lot of people just triple captaining Salah, Sterling, and getting to a haul of like 200 plus points already.
Yeah.
I'm at 174. Aditya's at 185.
Uh-huh.
And we have our good friend of TFC Harsh, who's sitting bottom of the league at 110. What I don't understand about his tactics is that he's already done 7 transfers in 3 weeks. Why doesn't the guy just do a wild card? So he's saying -8, -12. I mean,
and then he scores lowest.
And if you look at his team on paper, it's actually super decent. You will not think that
he's doing that badly. Yeah,
because this team looks solid, man. He has DDG, he has Walker and Bissaka, he has Mane, Sterling, Son, and Sissoko. He has Jimenez, he has Rashford.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, Wan Bissaka, no. Son, first game of the season, I wouldn't take him. Sissoko is defensive.
Fine, forget those two guys. Sterling, Mane, Jimenez, Rashford. These four are a good guarantee of points.
Yeah, but even Jimenez, like, he's got his first points because of the penalty. Like, even Wolves, at least the attack side of Wolves, hasn't really done much as of now. So he was my pick right in the beginning, but I got rid of him when I played my wild card because, yeah, Wolves is still, I think for Wolves to do something, I think Jota has to, you know, turn up and do something. And he's also not really being able to, like, convert anything or assist to anything. And when Jota and Jimenez are on fire, then there's no stopping them. And I still think there's a while for them to get tracking.
I do too, man. I think I have Jota in my team right now, but I feel like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Get rid of him.
I want to, but I don't want to take too big a hit on my points. So
wild card.
Dude, it's just three game weeks. Just seems so early to play a wild card. Because then, if you get into injury trouble like mid season, then you just stuck with your, like, if you get like two key players injured,
right,
you just stuck with them. So I don't want to be in that position, but I also don't want to. Maybe a systematic -4s for like the next 3 weeks. It's not the right decision either. I totally understand that, but I'm very curious to see what Spurs versus Arsenal does next season. Because right, a lot of people in our league have quite a few players from Spurs,
right,
and the odd Oba, and maybe someone will throw in Pepe as well. Right. So
I have Ceballos. He's pretty cheap.
Is he?
Yeah, I think he's 7 or 8 or something.
That's very interesting.
So, oh, he's 5.6.
Ceballos is 5.6.
He was 5.5, obviously, and he's got that upgrade to 5.6. So, yeah. And he's
pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, Liverpool nullified him. Spurs, I'm not sure, will be able to do the same thing. So I feel like Ceballos will come into play a lot next game.
He will.
That'll be a pretty interesting game in terms of fantasy. And then we had the standard Liverpool and City just killing it.
Correct.
And beyond that, Ashley Barnes is a good sort of pick for fantasy striker.
Ashley Barnes is good. Pukki is good
as well.
Cantwell is good. Cantwell is a Norwich midfielder who plays attacking. His value is 4.5. He started with, he's now 4.7. He's got 2 points in the first game week against Liverpool, and then he got 10 and 7.
That's pretty interesting as well. The only thing about like players like Ashley Barnes and Pukki, I feel like either they're just going to go the entire season killing it,
right?
Or what's more likely is that they'll just stop at 1 point. So what's that 1 point? I just keep thinking, I had the wrong attitude about FPL, man. I was like, ye agle hafte nahi goal marega, bas iske bas ki nahi hai. And then they'll go like 3 more weeks, and then I'll be like, shit. Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense to have out of your 3 strikers, like, I mean, if you've spent a lot of money on your Sterlings and Manes and De Bruyne's and stuff, at least have one main striker, and then you can choose your Barnes and Pukkies. And if you think they're playing like a City or a United or whatever, then just put them in your subs. This thing, like, I had Cantwell in my subs against Chelsea, which was stupid because he gave me 7 points and he's in my subs.
Hmm.
But I think that's how it usually should be, because if you go for established strikers, they're way too expensive. Managuero's 12, Kane's too expensive, Aubameyang's expensive. But Rashford's there because he's cheap. He's 8.5. And I mean, if he's the main penalty taker still, I hope, you know, he'll continue to score goals. So I don't know.
It's pretty interesting how fantasy's panning out. What's annoying is that it's hinging on this Sterling and either Salah or Mane dependency,
captain, right,
and who's captain, which is annoying because the effort that you're putting into your team outside of that is for the odd 10 points here and plus minus 10 points, right?
Right.
As opposed to traditionally what it would be like, it would depend on 3 or 4 players
yes,
in your game week in terms of who does well or not.
Right.
Should I replace Mane with Salah? That's something I'm going to think very hard about over the course of next week. But apart from that, I'm happy with my team. I definitely want to let Jota go. And I still have Origi sitting there, even though he's on my bench.
Yeah, get rid of him, man.
And my backline as well, man. I don't want Alderweireld there. I don't.
Exactly.
I can't count on clean sheets anymore. Yeah. All the teams are leaking goals, right? So either to have a defender that gets you points because of their attacking play, or just spend as little as possible and just hope for a clean sheet here and there,
right,
and then figure out your midfielders and your forward line. I think that's the way to go right now, but that requires a lot of changes. I'm not sure how that's going to happen.
Yeah, no, I see a change, because if you want to afford Salah over Mane, that's a 1 million difference, and you have Laporte. So if you get rid of Laporte and put Zinchenko, there's your 1 million difference.
And that's also a -4. So I don't know if I want to do that.
The advice is free.
The advice is free. I'm going to have a torrid week up now thinking through my team. I know it's going to be an OCD-filled, should I do this, should I do that? But let's see what I come up with. We'll definitely talk about it before we start the episode next week in terms of what our updates are with fantasy. Again, you guys can join our league whenever you want. And we'll be doing giveaways based on winners, and not just the top winners, maybe the first three, first five. Let's see how that pans out. The code is going to be in the show notes. And again, you guys can reach out on Muncha Sports with your comments and thoughts about this episode and this game week. And we'll catch you guys next week.